Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13, and the scripture will appear behind us, amen. Luke 4, 1 through 13. Hear the words in the gospel. Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and afterward Jesus was starving. The devil said to him, "Since you are God's son, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus replied, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." Next, the devil led him to a high place and showed him a single instant all the kingdoms of the world. The devil said, "I will give you this whole domain and the glory of these kingdoms. It's been entrusted to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. Therefore, if you will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him." The devil brought him into Jerusalem and stood him at the highest point of the temple. He said, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take you up in their hands so that you won't hit your foot on a stone." And Jesus answered, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." After finishing every temptation, the devil departed. He departed until the next opportunity. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time of worship. We're grateful to gather together to sing your praises, whether in person or worshiping with us online. We are here unified in your body, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for this we are grateful. May this time of worship be pleasing unto you. Remove anything that may hinder us from worshiping you in spirit and in truth, and from hearing your message on this day. We bless your holy name. In Christ's name we do pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Beautiful people of God, what a way to start our first Sunday of Lent. For those of us who are fasting, in case you did not know, this is considered a cheat day. But we do not call it a cheat day. It's a little Easter, okay? So don't tell people you're cheating today. This is my cheat day. This is not a diet. It's a fast. So today is a little Easter, a day in which we celebrate the Lord's resurrection and his victory over sin and death. Sundays are always considered a day of rejoicing, and this day is no different even in Lent. We celebrate Jesus who invites us up from the ashes into everlasting life. I know we are reading and watching and praying for our world leaders, for the global conflicts, as we pray for peace amid war, hope among the hopeless, and food, shelter, and clothing from those who are displaced from their homes and their communities. The temptation to ignore the conflicts, the pain, the suffering happening around the globe, whether in Ukraine or Russia, Africa or Israel, or right here in the U.S., is active and real. The temptation to ignore the conflicts. So here we are in this season of Lent, sharing Christ, being Christ with millions around the world. As followers of Christ, we are not alone, and we are better together. Why? Because our text today tells a story about how evil works on the basis of distortions and lies. Our text today is about Jesus' choice and ours to be obedient to God. Recently, a theologian shared how her son at the time, just shy of 4 years old, encountered this text during a children's moment. He came to her and said, "Hey, Mom, what do you know about the devil?" She said her mind began to jump to all kinds of theological views. She wondered, should I start with the early church fathers? Should I talk about the different translations of the text? Remember, she is a theologian. So instead she asked, "So, what do you know about the devil?" He said, "Well, the devil talked to Jesus." "Okay." "The devil was mean." "Okay." And as he leaned in closer with a loud whisper, he said, "If I were at a store and you were in one aisle and Dad together, and I was in another aisle and there was candy, the devil would say, 'You should go take some.'" So this theologian mom thinks for a moment and says, "Honey, if we were at a store and Dad and I were in one aisle and you were in another aisle and there was candy and the devil said, 'You should take some,' what would you say back to the devil?" And without hesitation, he replied, "Oh, I would say, 'Thank you.'" You know, sometimes when it comes to temptation, we all have the strength, all of us, of an almost four-year-old, and may reply, "Oh, thank you," when tempted by the devil. But on this day, I pray we have the strength to say, "Lord, give us the kind of faith that we see in this text, this deep, abiding faith that comes from knowing the scriptures, from being filled with the Holy Spirit, and from acknowledging a God filled with grace, mercy, and love, and from Jesus, who was human and is divine. Lord, give us this kind faith." The Gospel of Luke describes with rich details the temptation of Jesus. It's so easy to be an observer in this passage. The only witnesses that seem to be present are Jesus, the devil, and the spirit. Starting at verse 1, we learn Jesus returned from the Jordan River full of the Holy Spirit and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. There he was tempted for 40 days by the devil. He ate nothing during these 40 days. Nothing. So Jesus was starving. So, saints, let's pause for a moment. Although Luke only narrates three temptations, perhaps there were more. Luke's opening observation suggests that the temptations for 40 days were ongoing, rendering Jesus vulnerable, hungry, perhaps on the verge of collapse, completely in a wilderness experience. We often casually use the term wilderness to describe a hard time, But there are cases where the wilderness experience goes beyond challenging. It is spirit-breaking, soul-depleting, and it is in these moments that the devil strikes, the devil shows up, not when we're just having a bad day, but when we are vulnerable. Hebrews 4:15 reminds us that we have a high priest who in every respect has been tested as we are. You know, at times we tend to think of temptation in terms of being seduced or bedazzled or spellbound. But temptation involves testing the character. A testing of character. Or playing, as we see in this text, on Jesus's as well as our sense of worth. In verses 3 and 4, Jesus is tempted to take care of his rightful needs. In 5 through 8, Jesus is tempted with all earthly glory and authority. And in verse 9 through 12, Jesus is tempted to display or brag about his importance to God. But in each case, Jesus demonstrates that his sense of worthy is connected to the priority of trusting God and serving God's purpose. Do you remember that purpose? Hometown boy talks to his hometown crew, purpose to preach the good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, to liberate the oppressed. This sense of worth, sense of purpose, sense of serving is how he stood and how we stand against the one who enlists us, who tempts us, who challenges our character, who pulls and entices us to turn away from God. Jesus shows us in each of his responses to temptation that placing our deepest trust in God and giving our most faithful service to God's purposes leads us to comprehend more fully that God is the author and the finisher of our faith. God is the Alpha and the Omega. God is the beginning and the end. So let's look at this passage just a little bit closer. In verse 4, Jesus replied with Deuteronomy 8:3, "It is written, people won't live only by bread." He is stating God's providence surpasses our physical need. His providence surpasses our physical need. In verse 8, Jesus answered with Deuteronomy 6:13, "It is written, you will worship the Lord your God and serve only him," saying that ultimately glory and authority are only God's. Saints, we may have heard this, but I'm going to repeat it in this space. The devil clearly knows Scripture as well. He comes back to Jesus, quoting Psalm 91:11-12 in verse 10. He says, "Since you are God's son, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and they will take up you in their hands, and you will not hit your foot on a stone." Finally, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 6:16 and says, "It's been said, don't test the Lord your God." God's trustworthiness is a covenant of grace, not a commodity at our disposal. Let us, as children of God, have this kind of faith. I love how one theologian writes, trusting God and serving God's purposes also wears the devil down. So how do we do this? How do we fight the one whose evil works on the basis of distortion and lies? How do we do this? How do we fight it? By being a community of faith, by being a community filled with the Holy Spirit, Jesus is modeling this for us, by knowing, acknowledging, and understanding the Scriptures, by holding the Scriptures deep inside of us and pulling them out when we are tempted by evil, by having the kind of faith that is grounded in worth, God's worth, grounded in purpose, God's purpose, connected to the priority of trusting God. By abiding by the commandment to love and to serve God's people, what more is there to say? Saints, Jesus gives us a deep perspective for our lives. So how can we reflect upon this passage, reflect upon some of the temptations that are in our own life? We ask ourselves, what do we have to draw on? What do we have to rely on? Or what steadies us or gets us through the realities, the challenges, and the difficulties on a day-to-day basis? Trusting in God. Having purpose in God. Serving God. Being generous because of God, and love others because God first loves us. Up from the ashes, may we have this kind of faith. Up from the ashes, may we intentionally draw deeper into our faith. Up from the ashes, may we take risks for the kingdom of God. Up from the ashes, may we set out to transform our world, our community, our homes, our relationships, and move into that place of courage. Up from the ashes, to step out in faith. I told Pastor Josh today that I would not be long. So as the worship band begins to make their way up here, I have one final thing to say. On this day, and in the days to come, up from the ashes, let us trust God, serve God's purposes, speak God's truth, love one another, be filled with God's grace, so that we too can bring the devil down. Serve God. Love God. There is nothing that can go against the love of God. Nothing. We are better together. One in Christ. With our purpose to love. To love. And to what? Love. Amen.